Self-healing through self-parenting, a concept introduced a generation ago, has helped thousands of adult children of alcoholics who are codependent and have conflicts in their primary relationships. Dr. Patricia O'Gorman is author of the classic book, The 12 Steps to Self-Parenting for Adult Children. Whether they grow up in a dysfunctional home, were victims of violence, or suffered other types of acute distress, many people struggle to determine the impact of earlier trauma on current adult decision-making. Dr. Patricia O'Gorman, a psychologist in private practice in East Chatham and Albany, New York, is noted for her work in trauma, families, children of alcoholics, child welfare, mental health, and substance abuse. And it is a great pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Again, the book is Healing Trauma Through Self-Parenting, The Codependency Connection. That's the new book. And how did you come to this realization?
Well, it was, as a psychologist, I was recommending all of these books to people I work with dealing with trauma. And there was too much information in the books, and people were actually getting re-traumatized reading these really good books that are out there. And I decided to write a simple book on trauma, saying what it was and what people could do about it. And I actually convinced somebody to publish it.
You're good. So how do you define trauma?
Trauma, we have really two definitions of trauma. There's trauma with the big T, and that's the two mental health diagnoses we have. But we have lots of trauma with little T's. And I hope that the new diagnostic manual coming out on trauma is going to expand our definition of trauma. But it's many things. I mean, we have PTSD, which everyone knows about.
Right.
But we also have trauma, for example, secondary trauma, that is actually pretty pervasive. There was a recent study, I think 2009, done by the Center for Disease Control, of people in New York City, looking at people in New York City who had suffered trauma as a result of 9/11, and they came up with over 100,000 people. Now, these are not all 100,000 people who were at ground zero. These were people impacted by watching it, people impacted by knowing people at ground zero. We call that secondary trauma. There are many types of trauma. There's trauma through witnessing an event. There's trauma through being close to someone who's had a traumatic experience. There's also something called complex trauma, which our veterans are letting us know about, which is trauma experienced in childhood and then kind of sealed over by the child, but then gets hit really hard by an adult event, and you get PTSD.
So this is, but it always comes from a specific event.
Yes, it comes from, or a series of specific events.
But different from, say, panic or anxiety or something that comes as a result of a lifetime of dealing with an insecurity or dealing with
yes,
you know, right. You know, family dynamics or whatever the case may be.
Yes, but the two can be connected, because if part of why we're anxious in dealing with family dynamics is because of traumatic events that happened,
yeah.
A lot of times as children, we don't remember what happened. And it's not till adulthood that something major happens that then it begins to come back, which is, again, what we're finding with our vets, why so many vets are coming down with PTSD. It's not just the horrors of combat, what it awakens, if you will, from what happened in the past.
What is self-parenting?
Self-parenting is what we can do to take care of ourselves. And in this day of managed care for mental health, I think what we can do for ourselves is really important to take care of ourselves. And so in the book, I have not just what trauma is, but a series of steps to really, and actual techniques to help people take care of themselves if they're dealing with trauma. And the big thing in dealing with trauma is dealing with triggers. So how, if you're being triggered, how do you calm yourself down? How do you do that? And it's, you know, there are simple things to do, including one that Alan inspired in every fun drive, which is to slow down time. And anytime I say that to patients, they roll their eyes. Oh, my God, slow down time. What do you mean? And, you know, if it's a fun drive, I'd say, listen to Alan. He's going to do it. It's hard to do. It's hard to do, but if you can learn to slow yourself down by walking a little slower, talking a little slower, and God forbid, driving the speed limit. You know, then you are in control. And when we're dealing with trauma, we need to be in control.
Because it's one of those old things when you say of don't think of the purple elephant in the room, and the first thing you think of is the purple elephant.
Absolutely.
So when you talk about triggers, for people, now I've had issues with panic and anxiety for years, and it's hard because, and many exercises that come with breathing and taking time and just, mm-hmm. you know, trying to talk yourself off the ledge that this isn't going to be horrible. But the first thing you think of is all the horrible stuff.
Yes, it is.
And getting that out of your mind is really difficult.
Which is why you need to put other things in your mind. So the first exercise in the book is to find different colors right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, to really help bring you into the present by identifying different colors right in front of you. Find 3 blue things, 2 red things, 1 green thing. You know, begin to look at your breathing. You know, one of the things that happens is we have our thinking mind, which does all our problem solving, but we also have our sensing mind, which takes in all the stimuli around us, which, you know, lets me know my fingers are cold now, which, you know, tells me about the air currents in the room. Mm-hmm. And we can move from our thinking mind into our sensing mind, or if we're being triggered and being sensed, you know, our sensing mind is overwrought, if you will, move into our thinking mind and begin to think about, okay, what can I do? Well, I can breathe. I can look at colors. I begin to take my mind off of what's panicking me, and I give myself something else to think about.
Which is different than avoiding it.
Yes. It is totally different than avoiding it. It's embracing it and dealing with it. And that's self-parenting. It's dealing with it.
Saying, here it is, and this is what I need to do to move on away from it.
Right, because it is a moment in time.
Yeah.
But when we're dealing with it, and we all have dealt with it, it feels like it's all there is. So we have to bring it back to this is a moment in time, and begin to realize, remember that, and allow ourselves to go through it by taking care of ourselves, by self-parenting, by calming ourselves down, by realizing that we can slow down our time. You know, we can slow down our breathing. We can, you know, remember this isn't all there is. Life is bigger than this moment, even though it feels like this moment is all there is.
You know, I understand the concept of self-parenting, but it's nice to have that parent too, or someone in that role, right?
Yeah, but many people, Joe, didn't have that.
Well, no, I understand that.
Yeah, so it's,
no, I know, but I'm just saying you can expand it, right?
You can be a parent, but
someone to fill that role to also offer you support,
right? And for some of us, that's got to be us taking care of that wounded part of us. And I think we can have those internal dialogues where we have that part of us that is afraid and the other part of us that can soothe that part of us and really parent ourselves. And it's great to have a parent. It's great to have friends. It's great to have go-to people. But it's also good to have yourself. And that's what the self-parenting is about to how to amplify that volume on how do we take care of ourselves. And part of that is being with others. And part of that is really standing with ourselves and knowing we can deal with this.
How do we get so messed up?
That's a great question. That's my next book.
Because as you said, everyone faces this at one time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how did we get to that?
I think certain families are a little, you know, we have our biochemistry and we have family teachings, intergenerational issues. And I think some families do a better job of teaching kids to kind of go through life than other families. And it's, you know, not because those families are bad. They've just been challenged. So it's a question of how do we really, you know, embrace, you know, what, you know, one of the things I have in the book is really looking at family legacies, you know, and what did our family teach us? And maybe what do we need to learn to do differently? Like, what are the messages our family gave us?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we need to reinterpret that message a little. You know, I've had, you know, and part of that is putting a positive frame on things, which is, you know, one of the steps. It's like to really learn to think positively. We can walk around feeling traumatized by our family, or we can walk around also feeling, wow, my family really taught me a lot. And they taught me a lot sometimes by what they did that didn't work, you know, not just that I've got to do what they did, but I can learn from that and do something a little different.
I asked this as the youngest of five, a 20-year difference between myself and my oldest brother. Uh-huh. But I find that it never, you know, that never ends, in the sense that it's not a complete picture, because you look now both my parents are gone, and we look back. Yeah. And I'm continually learning things about things that happened, about experiences that my brothers have had, experiences that I've had, and you start comparing notes, actions of things that have happened within the family that have affected relationships that my brothers and their family have had, and it's just, it's ongoing, and you think you've come to a point of, okay, I'm good now.
Are good now.
And then life slaps you upside the head again.
And then you have to remember what good looks like so you can get yourself back there. And that's self-parenting, because we're always evolving. But we need to figure out our own roadmap for how to take care of ourselves, because we're constantly assaulted, especially in this media age where there's, you know, if it doesn't come on cable, it comes through your computer,
right.
You know, these images, so it's like, how do we take care of ourselves? And it's more incumbent upon us to figure that out now, because there's so many other assaults coming in, or potential assaults coming in. So, and we are also always growing and always changing. So how do we figure out a path that works for us? So whether that's meditation or physical exercise, or I now have in the book a 1 minute meditation, because I took a seminar on meditating and realized I didn't have that 20 minutes. And I've been teaching patients for years how to do a 1 minute meditation that cuts the tension. And they do it several times a day. Many do it in the bathroom. Hope that's okay to say in the air.
Yeah, of course. Now, we mentioned it earlier this morning, actually. Sorry.
That's probably what inspired me on the way in. But, you know, just to take that minute. Literally, I teach people to do this in a minute, to drop down,
right.
Reduce tension, and so that they can go on using their good coping skills that they have.
Well, it's something I do this during the fun drive, too, where you realize what you can do in a minute.
Yes.
You know, if you just stop.
Yes.
And don't say anything. And just, a minute's a long time.
A minute is a long time. And what I train people to do is to take a two-syllable word, can be made-up word, say one syllable as they inhale, one syllable as they exhale. It focuses them on their breathing. It gets them out of their head. And they can relax into themselves. When we relax into ourselves, we actually have a great wealth of calm in there, but we need to access it. And that means we need to get out of our head, drop into our body, and just release. And focusing on our breathing through a two-syllable word is a way to do that. Not the only way, but a way.
Is calm our baseline?
I don't know if calm is our baseline. I think that would be great. I think calm for me during the day is my goal.
Right.
You know, I don't know how often I get there, but I keep trying to get back there, because it allows me to do what I need to do to work with the people I work with.
The name of the new book by Dr. Patricia O'Gorman is Healing Trauma Through Self-Parenting, the Codependency Connection. You have a busy weekend. You're going to be at the Chatham Bookstore tomorrow night from 5 to 7. Talking about and signing the book. You'll be at Bookstore Plus on Saturday in Lake Placid on August 25th. That's Saturday from 3 to 5. And you'll be at the Bookhouse at Stuyvesant Plaza in Albany on the 29th. That's Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Again, the name of the book is Healing Trauma Through Self-Parenting, the Codependency Connection. Chatham Bookstore on Friday, Bookstore Plus on Saturday, the Bookhouse of Stuyvesant Plaza on Wednesday. Patricia, a great pleasure to have you on the program. I wish you all the luck in the world with your work, and I thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.